In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the coaching carousel is heating up. We will bring you breaking news from across the state. Also, the transfer portal is incredibly active. We have over 25 guys that are switching spots. We will recap everything we know in that regard. And Texas Private School basketball playoffs are in full swing, and is Parrish the greatest basketball team we've ever seen in the ranks? Ryan Schroeder will break that down, all this and more, in the newest edition of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. Gentlemen, if you would have told me one short week ago that Aubrey Graham would have a worse song on record than Ratchet Happy Birthday, I would call you a liar. However, Meet Your Padre exists, so that's the world we live in. I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison, calling in from Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder join me from College Station and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, respectively. Gentlemen, I won't just say that and move on. I'll allow you both a chance to rebuttal as kind of our cold open. Walker Lott, known Drake stan. Thoughts?
I just first asking, like, how's your goat doing? That's my question. How's your goat doing?
Because my goat may graduate.
He had a good week last week, didn't he? Some tweets went out or something like that.
Some tweets, you know.
I only acknowledge the artist formerly known as Kanye West. Anything past the name change to Ye does not exist in my book. I wholeheartedly disavow racist statements and anything there, because there's a lot that's gone on.
Yo, cut this out, please. Cut this out. This is terrible.
Gosh. Look, man, it's having a great week. My goat tier goes like this: the best rapper, J. Cole; the best artist is Drake. That's how I do about it. And it's been a great week, a great album. Been listening to it. The Weeknd dropped an album right before this, a couple weeks before. I'm having great times. It's a great time, great vibes. I mean, what more in your album? You know, in 1 week, all the fandom of Kendrick Lamar is disappeared because it never existed in the first place. So
moving on. Yeah. Ryan Schroeder, you also are a follower of Aubrey Graham. Thoughts?
Well, just, you know, a lot of the analysis this week really was, you know, take the music out of the perspective. We really were trying to figure out, you know, where does Adonis end up in the private school spectrum? You know, just really no context, put it out there for the world to see. Trying to decide in that Houston spectrum, is he more of a Taps kid or does he fall on the SBC line? And with that, you know, now that Drake lives in outside the Houston type area, more toward
Burnham.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even, whatever. He's going to Kincaid. Isn't that what we decided? Kincaid?
It's a long drive.
So the thing about it is, the closest private school is Brazos Christian, right? I would think so. But I don't think
he's not staying in Taps. He's an SBC too.
But I don't think Drake's son fits Brazos Christian. So
he's wearing cowboy boots. He thinks he's country now. By the way, Drake is a great amalgamation of things, all of which he is not.
Hey, I think Adonis in the slot would go crazy. I mean, dude, he is quick, bro. He is quick off the.
He's like six.
All right.
Okay. The last thing I'll say on this, and I really do want to hit home on Meet Your Padre, because I've seen some of the funniest clips of that song over the last like 2 weeks. Drake is a half African American, half Jewish man from Toronto, Ontario. Why is he singing in Spanish?
Because he's versatile.
He's done everything. R&B, rap, everything.
It's why he is our generation's Michael Jackson.
No,
because he's as versatile as he is. Yes. He's absolutely
streaming giant. He's the streaming giant. Yeah. That's what people call him. All right, we can move on.
Oh my god. Okay.
It's been a great week.
Want to throw up a little bit.
But can we talk about what's not been going on great in the past couple of weeks for my life? Can I vent? Because I haven't been able to. No, not that. Dude, when our team's fully loaded, like fully healthy, it's going to be over for y'all. But anyways, I want to talk about how every DFW person right now is feeling. Firstly, I want to take 3 seconds of a moment of silence for the loss of Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks.
Thunder in five, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Thunder in five. I used to be a Mavs fan for all those who don't know out there. But once you get employed, you drink the serum and it's over. So,
Kool-Aid.
yep.
Yep. Look, there's a lot of to be said. It's been so long after this, after this happened. So I've kind of moved on in a bit, but I haven't had time to voice my opinion. And I feel like this is a great platform to do it because we talk about sports.
One eternity later.
Look, okay, being serious for a second, stuff that I can actually say on camera is it truly is crazy when ownership doesn't understand the culture of the city and understand what a team is defined. Like the fact that Luka Doncic was like, I think Dallas itself values more loyalty than any other like team. I really think that is what makes us different. I know every team values loyalty, so I'm not saying it's an abnormal thing, but like we rallied around Dirk for 20 years, 21 seasons. That was our guy. Like we had the Cowboys, you had Tony Romo, but like Dallas was Dirk. Like he was the city of Dallas. And we found this up and coming, basically Dirk Nowitzki 2.0 that was even better as a player in Luka Doncic. And now he's our guy. He was going to be our guy for another 15 years. He was going to be the face of Dallas again. I don't care truly. Like I need to see him. He would have to retire in 3 years for this trade to be successful. Like I need to show like his work ethic has to be the worst it's ever seen to make this trade. And how do you do that when you're a five-time All-NBA person? You bring a team to the finals and the Western Conference Finals in a span of 3 years. It truly doesn't make sense.
Here's my one question, and then we can move on. This is the only thing I want to ask you. If y'all win this year or next year, is it worth it?
Yes,
All
that's
right.
how I think it's absolutely
All
that.
right. All right.
I went through a lot because as every Mavs fan, this is the weird circumstance that as a member of a fan of a team, you can be like, I'm done. I'm transferring. I'm done with it. And everyone would be like, I get it. Like I understand. And I took a whatever it happened at Friday at 11:30. I'll remember that day. I was playing Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, great game. Remember that? Yeah, great OG one. Yeah, I know. I got back into it. Anyways, I was playing that, was watching a Netflix show on the other monitor, and I was having a great time. And then, the hack tweet we all thought happened, and it was not. But anyways, back to your question. It truly is unbelievable. I just don't ever. I can't believe. An ownership and a general manager doesn't understand the culture of Dallas. Granted, like you said, Ryan, if we do win it, all is forgiven. But you're banking on you have 2 years. You truly have 2 years to win it all, because the timeline of Kyrie Irving being as good as he is till what 36 is
Right.
improbable. You
Right.
already have a 31-year-old AD. Who
Right.
he stepped on a court in Dallas and already like is
Got
gone, and
hurt.
he might be
Yeah.
gone for the rest of the season. We don't know yet.
Right.
So it's truly like this is what you expected. Like he is known as day-to-day Davis. Like that's what Anthony Davis is known as. And you see it happening again. And now you see we're cursed as well. All our bigs are gone. They got rid of them. We have to play Kessler Edwards at the five.
Well, then you have coaches committing
Right.
assault.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you have like, if you think it's going to be good, it just gets even worse. It is truly the season from hell. And I can't, as a fan, do this any longer. But when the game on whatever next day we have a game, I will be there. I'll be there sitting and watching. I just can't believe this is happening. I do think, though, looking at a team, I somehow think I could be wrong here. And a lot of Mavs fans here will be like, you're crazy. I somehow think our team is maybe a little bit better with AD on the court as a team perspective. Because I think Kyrie at the one, Max Christie slash Klay at the two, PJ at the three, AD and Gafford slash Livy at the five is an unbelievable lineup. Like, we're have one of the deepest teams in basketball when we're all healthy. The question is, hey, who's your father right now up there in Oklahoma City? Who's your father? Who's your father? Who's your father?
God, who art thou in heaven? I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean,
Who has the winning record right now? Who has the
who's the
winning?
number one team in the West?
It don't matter who's beating you more times than not. Who beat you last year in the playoffs? Who beat you last year?
I don't remember.
Or two.
Duke would beat both the Mavericks and the
All right, let's
Thunder
move.
with this current team.
I think I'm ready for this conversation.
Look, get us healthy. It's going to be a dangerous team. But Nico Harrison should have realized this team was never going to be healthy because of who you brought in. That's all I will say. You better hope and pray, Nico Harrison, that this pans out. Because if not, you will be the most hated man in Dallas ever.
Okay, let's cut this off before we have any more threats that would get us removed from YouTube. That is about 10 minutes of rambling on current topics, which you all, I'm sure, scrubbed through anyway to get to the actual Texas Private School information. It's the off season. We got to ramble a little bit, but we will start, as mentioned, with the coaching carousel, starting with kind of some bombshell news that dropped within the last week. Coach Corey Washington of Brazos Christian is moving to McMurray University to be their defensive coordinator. McMurray is a Division III team that's been quite successful in recent years. They went 7-3 overall, 7-1 in conference. Washington replaces Will Payne, who is heading to Howard Payne to join the new head coach Cody Gibson staff, who previously was an assistant at Grace Community and a head coach at Tyler Bishop Gorman, where he stole our offense and implemented it much less successfully. I'm just kidding. Coach Gibson's a good dude, but Payne had established McMurray as the premier defense in the Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference, allowing two touchdowns and 2,300 yards of offense in 10 games.
Wow.
Two touchdowns over 10 games, pretty good
That's
defense.
insane.
That's
When
crazy.
that dude took over in 2022, they were allowing north of 33 points per game. What this all means is McMurray obviously thinks very highly of Coach Wash, who took Brazos Christian from a 6-6 season in 2022 to a 12-1 state title appearance in 2024. I will say this makes me feel old because this is now the second Brazos Christian coach that we've had a very good relationship with that's now gone, which makes me sad, but we'll always have connections there. So I'm sure the next guy we'll be good friends with. But in terms of Brazos Christian, my question to you first, Walker, is either who or what type of person should they be looking at and go and try and target?
It's a great question that I'm not prepared for at the moment. But I think of it like this, where when they hired, right? When they hired Corey Washington, he was the head coach over there at Brentwood before he came here, right? And he did a great job over at Brentwood. He was the guy, he just was a very good job. So you have to find a guy from this is the either of the two ways. You have to stay in TXPS. And I wanted to say, by the way, I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he was basically saying it was very good of TXPS this year for hiring in TXPS, like coordinators and other coaches around the state. There was a really good job of hiring in TXPS. I'm very proud of them. So that's what you need to do here. You need a guy that understands TXPS, understands the private school ranks. You need a coordinator at one of these bigger schools or a head coach at a smaller school that wants to take the job over. What Bishop, the thing about Brazos Christian is, and so for all the coaches listening, here's your little pitch. Brazos Christian is in a spot to grow and grow. This is going to be a team that goes and plays Division III football in a couple of years, right? This is going to be a team that continues to grow with College Station being one of the bigger schools. Bryan College Station being one of the bigger areas and that's growing in the state of Texas. So you're going to have more and more kids and more families come into this place, especially Brazos Christian, because besides Allen Academy and some of the other smaller six-man schools, it is the premier place in this area. There's no other school around it, which is good for it. So that's kind of what you expect. I would expect this place to be a fast-rising place. You're going to have talent. A guy like Cooper Murr at a Division IV level doesn't come often, right? A guy who has that thing, Brody Gardner's of the world, Truett Goodikes. You don't usually have those type of players in that capacity where a lot of them are there at a Division IV level. So expect these guys to continue to grow. There's going to be guys coming through the ranks that are going to be very good. It's definitely what, if you're talking about a small school in TXPS, it's one of the best jobs available. And so the community is great. The people who are there are great. So without a doubt, I think it's a great place for any school. I would definitely look at a coordinator around TXPS and then maybe a head coach in one of these smaller schools that wants to take the charge. So, Gosh, I wish I had names for you. Like, this is where they should go after, but I just can't right now on the top of my head.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me on that front is Coach Washington was basically in the kind of the middle stages of implementing like a very, very solid culture there. Like he mentioned, and I've said this on the program before the season, he's like, I think this year is the year that everyone's finally bought into what I've been building here. And we saw very evidently it was. If there's not a super team named First Baptist, they win the state championship. However, it'll be interesting to me if they try to hire someone with a similar philosophy to Coach Washington, because I think if you go out and you go out, you make a home run hire. If you bring in somebody that now goes a completely different direction to the foundation that's been laid over the past 3 years, we could see some turmoil. I don't know. I'm speculating because that's half the point of this podcast, but it'll be very interesting. Ryan Schroeder, Coach Washington, fantastic job at Brazos Christian. Now on to McMurray. Your thoughts on kind of where the Eagles go from here?
Definitely sucks that it's kind of been a revolving door the last, 2 years and stuff. But Coach Washington did absolutely what they wanted out of him. You took 1 year to kind of figure out what they had, figure out what was there, and really built a relationship with the community. He really built Brazos Christian up to what they were this year. And if First Baptist wasn't a team, that championship is theirs. They beat Central Texas. They did everything they needed to do in the D4 spectrum. They were a really good team with absolutely incredible athletes that were all built from what they had there, from kids all the way through Brazos Christian when they were young to seniors and stuff. I mean, even our intern Waverly could tell you that the culture around the school is fully centered in the fact that, hey, it's a football type school, and we're out here to win. And I think 12-0 right before you see First Baptist is indicative of a perfect season and overall great coaching. Overall, very excited to see what Coach Washington does at McMurray, especially with just the scope of how McMurray's been doing in D3. And yeah, just overall what he deserves that. Going from taps, going from the smallest side of 11-man football in the state to being a coordinator, right? A coordinator at a D3 level school, at a college level, like that should prove to everyone that they were a very valuable program.
Yeah, it's massively impressive. I can't say enough good things about Coach Washington.
And
Welcome.
on the TXPS side, that's gonna be awesome for us to have a connection over there at McMurray, a school that really has targeted a lot of TXPS athletes over the years. And it continues to target TXPS athletes. So having a guy that we know and respect over there at McMurray, I'll say this for the community. I mean, we're definitely gonna be sending him guys throughout the years, be like, hey, gotta go find these guys, go after these guys. So it's good to have a connection up there in a Division III level up in McMurray. So one of the best we know, and one of the best we've done, like what he did at Brazos Christian, like you talked about, like the program, like before he even got there, my light just fell. But before he even got there, it was the type of thing of like they didn't have a weight room. I mean, they had to implement a weight room, they had to do
That's
this.
so awesome.
Like the first, I think first or second year of him being there was the new field. So like this is the thing where he was really putting into a foundation for really something special there. The organization, we talk about it all the time, the school, the administration, the board all backed him, the athletic director too. Like they backed him to make it where he can succeed. So he has laid a foundation to where any coach that comes in, ooh wee, you have the time of your life over there at Brazos Christian.
Definitely. So, all the best to a longtime friend of the program, Coach Corey Washington at McMurray. Moving on, some more inter TXPS news. Ross Roby, the Fort Worth Christian defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator, is on the move to Austin Hyde Park to be their head coach. Following the exit of Phil Dawson as head man, Hyde Park made a big hire in former Fort Worth Christian and Liberty Christian coach Ross Roby. Roby is a guy that is very apparent was in line for a TXPS head coaching gig in the near future. Serving as recruiting coordinator for Liberty Christian and Fort Worth Christian for almost a decade, defensive coordinator for the last four, and head track coach for the previous seven. We heard of many TXPS affiliated guys with their names in the hat for this gig, and I think Hyde Park hit a home run with Roby. If you've been around him, you know he's a pioneer in the increasingly vital recruiting coordinator role since he took over. He has fantastic collegiate connections and does a tremendous job educating kids on the little things colleges are looking at every level, D1 through NAIA through D3. Also, I think having a heavy track guy as a leader of a football program is incredible. I'm on record as saying that every single skilled player should run track as a non-negotiable. I think this is a move that could vault Hyde Park to another level of competitive in the coming years. Walker, Hyde Park is not by any means a team that's in the dumps. They've been competitive, and they're in a very stacked Division II. But adding a guy like Roby, I think, gives them a potential ump to maybe, Regents is the established program in the region, but maybe this gives Hyde Park the boost they need to really go and try and claim Austin. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Roby's announcement.
Yeah, this is the thing where before Phil Dawson came in, it was kind of a not middle of the pack. They were honestly on the lower side of top schools when it came to sports, especially football. I don't know about other sports, but in terms of football, they were downhill. And now you see what Phil Dawson did, and kind of like Cory Washington, they rose to power and where they can be now. And what he's done has been awesome over there. And Roby is a guy that he was probably one of our first connections when we started this podcast and grew this to where it is now. And that relationship has shown how good this guy is in this space, one of the most respected guys we know. And it's a slam dunk hire. I mean, I was very shocked when I heard that name, and I was like, that's awesome. That's a perfect hire. And what Roby has over there is wealth of riches, where you led by the 2027 quarterback, Crawford Moffitt, who is going to be a dude for years to come over there. You also have Simon Johnson, the 6'6 offensive lineman, who already has an offer from North Texas, who's going to be one of the best. He's going to be probably the best 27 offensive lineman in the state. You have him, 27, and probably the best underrated, not even underrated anymore because we gave him the award, Houston Shaw, the athlete superstar over there. Hyde Park. You have those three guys to build around. So it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be really, really awesome to see. They got dudes and a guy like him who just knows how to lead a program. He's a great leader of men. And so when you have those guys around him, it's gonna be a recipe for success. I'm excited to see what he builds around his coaching staff. And Austin, you should have some of the young bright minds in the sport over there and at Hyde Park, which it was my first time ever being there this past year during the playoffs. It's a cool place, man. They have the facilities, they have the environment. It's one of the best environments I saw last year. It could be a place where he builds something truly special, and to a team that is probably second, third place in the district to maybe leading the charge in these district races and fighting finally against a team like Regents.
Definitely so. Big move, Ryan Ross Roby to Austin Hyde Park. Your thoughts?
I think overall, we love to see the move of like staying within private school, right? A lot of times, from our perspective, right, we recognize talent at the coaching levels across, coordinator positions, across whatever, but some of that knowledge isn't really public across whatever, unless you're in the coaching sphere and you kind of know, but you don't know cross division who's good for this, who's good for that. You really have to like only evaluate from what you can see and from what you see on Max Preps and whatever and stuff like or film. Like you don't really know these people. You don't really know what they've done with the culture. It's not as public, as the UIL space, I feel like sometimes. I mean, public, you know what I'm saying? Literally, truly, it is something. It's great to see us, it's great to see as a private school community in total, us helping coaches go from coordinator to head coaching positions while staying within the TXPS sphere. I think that's very, very special.
Definitely so. It will be very interesting to follow Hyde Park following this. We will move to the next ones pretty quickly because we have spent a lot of time on this already. Houston St. Thomas. Coach Rich McGuire is on the move to Division II Southeastern Oklahoma. Defensive coordinator Raymond Davis has become their head coach. Back in December, it was announced that Southeastern Oklahoma hired St. Thomas head coach Rich McGuire. McGuire has led St. Thomas for the previous 8 seasons, amassing a 62-31 record, 7 straight playoff appearances, and a state title game run in 2023. Houston St. Thomas promoted Coach Raymond Davis from defensive coordinator to head coach, and his story is pretty dang cool. Davis served in the U.S. Army right after high school, where he would continue for the next 23 seasons. He also joined St. Thomas in 2017, but was soon after activated to serve in support of the U.S. Border Patrol and simultaneously served and assisted in coaching duties for the 2018 and 2019 seasons while being active. Davis assisted McGuire, turning St. Thomas into the premier program in the Division I South. And if you watch him coach for more than 30 seconds, you know his passion for the game and the young men he coaches is unmatched. Walker, I love this hire. I love giving young coaches the opportunity to lead programs. We talked about this a few episodes back. I think Coach Davis is a slam dunk. And I'm going to say that about a lot of guys that go from private school to private school, but especially promoting internally. I remember back in high school, we had a head coach leave and we promoted our defensive coordinator internally. And the morale boost from that, as opposed to going and getting a guy from somewhere else, I know this has to be a very popular move, especially for the athletes at St. Thomas. Your thoughts on Davis taking the head job?
Yeah, this is kind of one that was kind of in the waiting. We were just like, all right, when is it this coming? Because in the past couple of years, it was just like, it's going to happen. Whatever McGuire wants to leave and, you know, ride into the sunset after a great career at St. Thomas, you had a guy waiting in charge, just going to be a dominant force in TXPS. This is not just a slam dunk hire, Wes. This is like Zion Williamson high school dunk hire. Like, this is like, yeah, exactly. Like, this is going to be an incredible, incredible time over at St. Thomas. The culture he will bring, I mean, it's kind of already established because it was kind of the right-hand man is now just taking over. And so the culture that was already there is just going to continue, but with probably more tenacity, more like just like intensity. Like, it's gonna be an awesome time over at St. Thomas, and from what I've heard, there's a lot of young guys. The sophomore freshman classes are gonna have a bright future ahead at St. Thomas. The 27 class they really, really like. So as long as these guys keep buying in, I mean, St. Thomas, a team that's always really, really good in the South, is gonna continue to be good.
I think that's a correct assessment. Ryan Schroeder, really, really good move for St. Thomas. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely incredible move. I've seen, you know, at Legacy and stuff, just to speak on Legacy, you know, you saw hiring within and how it was a morale boost. I saw hiring outside and how it basically plummeted our program for a year or two, right? When we, I actually kind of forget his name already, but, you know, it doesn't matter. The whole spectrum is you hire outside, you still keep certain position coaches and whatever and stuff like that. When the guy wants to bring his own guys in, like, there's so many things that happen when you try to hire outside versus trying to hire within. And especially someone like Coach McGuire, who's just been absolutely running the South and D1 for years, you have to know the company around him has been incredible. And of course, we know Coach Davis. Coach Davis is doing everything that Coach McGuire has already implemented and just excelling it even more after a season where, you know, going 7-6, this is just one season. They're going to be right back up to where they normally are with Coach Davis at the helm.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that'll happen. I really like continuity, and hopefully that pans out for St. Thomas, because it's always fun when St. Thomas is really good. We'll move on north up to Plano for John Paul II. Nick Scheel is out. George T. is back in as head football coach. JP2 announced in mid-January that George T. would return as head football coach following a three-year stretch by Nick Scheel where the Cardinals went 9-19. I'll be frank. There is no excuse for a program the caliber of John Paul II to be as bad as they've been in a power sport in recent years. They've been a powerhouse in basketball more often than not, winning a state title in 2022, but they have been flat out awful on the gridiron since 2019, where they appeared in the state title game. But outside of that, the 2010s were incredibly dismal. There is a stretch from 2013 to 2016 where they went 1-40. They won one game and lost 40 games. There is no question, though, that T has football pedigree, shining as a defensive back for Alabama, and then the Packers, Cowboys, and Dolphins over a pro career that spanned 9 seasons. Is there reason to believe that JP2 can become competitive and even work their way back into a TAPS D1 district as they are currently freelance? Walker, I'll pose that question to you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, it can be. I thought that, you know, you always do that thing where you're like, I'll pose a question to you and then I'll say the question, but you did it. You did it before. That threw me off. That's on me. That's on me, though. Anyways, yeah, absolutely. But it comes down to this. Are they going to recruit? Like, I hate saying it, but it's true. Because You got Jaren Bradley. You got all those guys back in the day at JP2, Grayson James, those dudes, Terrence Brooks. Oh man, Brennan's no, that was Bishop Dunn. Nope. Anyways, like that JP2 team that you know and love that were very, very good back in the day, they recruited. Like that was the game of the game. And I remember hearing up from friends that with the JP2 at the time being like, yeah, that's just what we did. And it worked. They were the best team in that year besides the Preston Stone led Parrish, right? And so the question is, and then so after that 2019 season, they shut it off. It's kind of the same thing Bishop Dunn did back in the day, where they're just like, you know what? We're not gonna do it anymore. And you saw this, the water spout just turned off, and it was just nothing was happening anymore. And so that's gonna be the question. It doesn't have to be the level of Liberty and Parrish the past couple of seasons, but you gotta get some guys in.
To compete in Division One, it's got to be that level.
But okay, I'm not expecting them to compete against Liberty and Parrish right now. I'm expecting you to compete against TCA, Nolan, Lynch, Liberty, or Legacy. Those are the teams
It,
I expect you to compete against right now.
the one thing I'll say with all this, which by the way, I don't know if y'all knew this. You know that whole stretch you just talked about going whatever.
1-40.
I can't find it. No, where was it?
1-40. Wow.
Yeah, hold on. Was it? I could find it. It was
2013
going,
to
it was,
2016.
yep. Okay. Guess who they won their first game back against?
Legacy.
Legacy Christian Academy. I was at the game. I was so mad. I was a sophomore in high school. I was the most livid person on the planet. And everyone's like, Ryan, why do you care so much? And I'm like, y'all don't realize how bad they were. But
Did
anyways,
you talk about that on your old podcast?
okay. All right. Did you talk about that on your old podcast, 905 4 Vegas?
903 Vegas, get it
Yeah.
right.
Yeah,
It's what
what?
spawned this podcast.
Whatever. Oh goodness, spawn this podcast? Yeah, whatever. Anyways, well, I think now would be a better time than any to tell people that JP2 overall, like you said, has been very good in other spectrums of different sports: baseball, basketball, girls basketball too, by the way. They've been good at girls soccer. They've been good at everything. And they're in the Mecca, not South Oak Cliff, but they're in the Mecca.
The reference.
A Plano,
The
with
reference.
all these different schools in the area, people want to come there. I mean, they had, I mean, any A&M fans out there, Manny Obiseki and his brother came from Allen and went to Plano John Paul II to play basketball. They could get anyone in the area. For them to be this bad, unacceptable. I think a coaching switch had to be made. This is the right decision. I'm excited to see what JP2 can do.
I agree. And something that's odd to me, we'll move on after this, but when I think back of late 2010s JP2, I always feel like they were a dynasty for multiple years. I forget it was that one year in
One
2019,
season.
and they were awful. They've been awful as a program outside of that. That's the one thing that makes me nervous is that there's no proven track record of success there, like there is from old dynasties of the past. But I will say, as a counterpoint to everything we said so far, if you turn back on that spout of recruiting, which JP2 is in Plano, they can look at Prestonwood for God's sake. I think we could see another team rise up in D1, which I think is good. That's why I thought it was good when a team rose up to challenge Parrish. The more, I guess, super teams we have to make it even makes it more interesting as opposed to one team wiping the slate off of everyone.
Especially
That's
with
all I'll say.
it's how many teams in private, like they're that Frisco, the Plano area, all those areas are just growing massively. And there's a high school that pops up every year, like every 3 years now. There's going to be guys that are not playing at those schools or are playing at those schools. And they're just like, I want to go different place. And they should be an absolutely slam dunk thing to where you can get a quarterback, you should be able to get a receiver, get one or two offensive linemen. It should be that type of thing. I'm not expecting a whole revamp in 1 year, but you should be able to get a guy to throw the ball, to run the ball. You know what I mean? They have good players. They just aren't not a good squad. The last really good player they had was Caden Kittler, and I think he's now Arkansas, something like that.
They
But
had a couple of good guys that me and Wes were talking about that, or whatever, is that BC, the BC kids, whatever, that are
Grayson
now.
James, Jaren Bradley, that was the year that 2019 hit. And so then that when that hit and the spout turned off, Jared Bradley went to DeSoto. Grayson James was the starting quarterback at Duncanville when they went to the state title game. Like, these are the type of players they had on that team, and
Insane.
they just couldn't do anything. Terrence Brooks, I believe, was on that team, and then he ended up at Little Elm, and then now went to Texas, and now I think is at TCU. So like,
It's insane.
they had the talent there. It's just the faucet turned off. So you can't do the thing like Bishop Dunn did. You can't do the thing like just turn it off and hope and pray everything's going to be okay. I think they can get back there. It's truly the question of like, do they want to do that path again? Like, and also like, if you put them, I know they're freelance right now. If you put them in D1, how many games do they win right now?
No, nothing. Nothing.
District games?
Maybe
Yeah,
one.
zero.
They
Maybe
probably beat
one.
Nolan.
Nolan would be a fight, yes. But like, Nolan was a fight against TCA, and I don't know if they beat TCA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think they need to win. Before they get back into TAPS Division One, where they rightfully should be, they need to revamp that program. Get
Right.
wait, at least go and wait one more year, and then for freelance, when that freelance, all the reconstruction happens, with I forget the word, realignment. When the
Yep.
realignment happens next year, get back in.
I want to see them build an absolute like Bishop Dunn super team and just stay in freelance and just destroy all the
Oh
freelance
no,
school.
we don't
That would
want
be
that. We don't want that.
that'd be hilarious. But that's what we have there. I'm going to run through the last two, combine them pretty quickly. Grapevine Faith, Bobby Holland is out. Mike Fuller of Colleyville Heritage and formerly Decatur is in. Very successful athletic director and head football coach at Decatur from 2015 to 2022. Faith also has added Flower Mound Marcus tight ends coach Brian Blair as offensive coordinator and Parrish assistant, as well as 18-year tenured college coach Trey Haverty at defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator. I said I was going to combine these last two, and I might spend a little more time here, sadly. In regards to Faith, this is a clean slate. They wiped everything clean. They were like, we don't like getting dog walked. We're going to turn this back around. And that's what it seems like they're going towards. My interesting point here is Fuller is not entering the athletic director role. The follow-up question to that, does Faith need to consolidate the head football coach and AD to have a shot? You look back at the days of Chris Hogan, the last time they were super competitive. Chris Hogan, basically all the power is consolidated there. My humble opinion would be for a team like Faith, and then you can get in the argument whether that's too much responsibility to really focus on football. But I think, especially in the era of recruiting, and a large part of why Faith was good back then was recruiting. I think you need a guy at the very head of the ship that like controls things. You don't have to answer to anyone. You're basically a dictator, and you go in and you say, this is how the program's running. I think the landscape has gotten so competitive in that regard. You would need to, especially a guy that has AD experience. I would have liked to see that happen. We'll see. I don't know anything. Walker Lott, do you share a similar opinion?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to be the AD, but you have to have a great relationship with the AD and the board and all the administration people, because if not, you see it all the time where like it just couldn't get it right. And all my coaches know this. Like, if the cooperation's not there, it's not a recipe for success. If the spirits are aligned and the chakras are all good, then they'll be good. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going. I'm kind of rambling for a bit, but as long as they have like a understanding, and Fuller has an understanding, be like, hey, this is a private school. There's a lot more like you have to focus on from a private school perspective. And I love the hire of the parish assistant. I
Haverty.
think, yeah, Trey Haverty. I think that's gonna be a great hire who understands private school at the biggest level at a school like Parrish. So as long as you kind of have that mindset and the administration's behind you, I think it can go back to where it was. They have the people, but the thing about it is a lot of their talent has left the past couple of years. You know what I mean? So if as long as they stay, it could be something for sure.
Absolutely. And I can't just call Trey Haverty Parrish assistant. Haverty led the Big 12 in receptions in 2004. He was an AP and Sports Illustrated All-American.
Wow.
After entering the team as a walk-on, he spent time
Wow.
at TCU, Texas Tech, UT, Lamar, SMU. Dude knows ball. Like I said, been a college coach for 18 years. That's a hire, I think, one of the biggest ones that we saw. But Ryan, a lot of stuff about Faith. I would like to see the head coach and AD consolidate. We'll see that at some point, maybe. Your thoughts?
I don't really have a lot to say. I overall just another coaching hire within Faith. Hopefully things get back on the ship that they were when I was in high school, or maybe they don't, because I don't really like Faith. But oh, I used to not like Faith. Sorry. I'm a Faith fan now.
Now, moving on to the final coaching hire we saw. Vernon Wells is out at Colleyville Covenant. Joey Phillips, the Hyde Park defensive coordinator, is in. So we recently talked about Hyde Park clearing some stuff out. Their DC is now head coach of Colleyville Covenant. Walk a lot. Vernon Wells was kind of a staple of a figure at Colleyville Covenant, very well renowned. He is gone. Joey Phillips is in. Don't have a ton on this hire. Any high level stuff you want to hit on before we move on?
To be honest, I haven't met Joey Phillips at all. I can't be like, oh, he's a great man or anything. I truly don't know anything. But I will say this, watching them against Fort Worth Christian in the round one of the playoffs, I was really impressed of how they kind of shut down their offense for most of the game. You know, it was for a team that was probably more talented than Hyde Park on offense. It was kind of impressive what they were able to do on defense. That's kind of what I say is kind of I respect his game, and I think that's going to be a place. But I will say this, it's going to be hard. We'll talk about in a second kind of things that are not going his way year one. The turnover is going to be insane over there at Covenant, and it's not going to be a team like Covenant that you've seen in the past where they're going to be solid throughout. It's going to be a lot of their big time guys are not going to be playing there next year, and for him. How does he respond year one, where he's going to build with guys that are not going to be all state caliber players? You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see how Covenant responds this year. I think it's a good hire for Colleyville. Colleyville is an area kind of like Grapevine, where you have teams around you. You have Birdville, you have North Richland Hills, areas around you that should have talent if they come into Covenant Christian. But yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Definitely so. Ryan Schroeder, I'm not necessarily skipping you, but we have much more we need to get through with a limited
No,
time
that's
budget.
cool.
We will now move on to the transfer talk. And sweet Lord Almighty, this is a massive, massive list. I'll start with one of the bigger ones that we got tipped off to recently. This is 2026 quarterback Gavin Beard of Aledo to All Saints Episcopal, Titletown to, I guess, Titletown now. Looking at All Saints. This is big. We obviously knew that Gavin Parkhurst, unless something changed, has run out of eligibility and will be the quarterback at Texas State next year. This is big. If you know anything about anything, you know Aledo is Titletown. And Beard took Aledo to the quarterfinals, I think, this year. He was a kid that was at All Saints in middle school, has a lot of good connections with the guys there already. You watch this kid's tape, he's a gamer. He is somebody that I love a lot as a high school quarterback. I think he's going to fit in very well with All Saints and the culture Beck's established there. Walker, this is big, big, big time news. We always see that All Saints goes and gets an established guy at quarterback. I think the stat is, I don't know if they've had an underclassman quarterback in the past decade. I don't know. So another established upperclassman taking the reins. Your high level thoughts.
Yeah, because of if people don't know geography, Aledo and All Saints are probably 20 minutes from each other. It's West Fort Worth, and they both are kind of they share people. This is the type of thing where Haas Haney was a middle schooler. It was at Aledo for elementary school, was a middle schooler, went back to Aledo, and then was the quarterback, and now at Oklahoma State, right? This is the type of thing where it's like they just kind of rotate guys. Hamp Fay back in the day was a guy that was at Aledo for all the time, went to All Saints his senior year and went to Michigan State to play quarterback. This is kind of what they do. They just rotate guys here and there. A couple guys on the offensive line rotated in. Devon Keyes, right now, wrong guy. Tyron Meeks, the defensive lineman, he went to Aledo a couple years ago or last year. So this is just a thing they do. They rotate guys. And Gavin's gonna be a great dude. He reminds me actually a lot like Haas Haney. Very mobile, agile guy that can run the ball and use that QB read misdirection stuff and is elusive and all that, but it has a great arm along with it. And so I think it's a great thing where they get a guy who knows TXPS, he knows private school and comes in and knows the guys around him. And I think it's a slam dunk hire for what they could have gotten in around there with especially with Jackson Knapp leaving, they needed to find a guy for the future and they found him. And I think it's a big, big hire or sorry, a big, big portal addition. I don't know what else to say that, but yeah, it's a portal addition. It was a great one for Alito or for All Saints.
Definitely so. All right. We are looking at just a gargantuan list of transfers. Walker, I'm going to hand this off to you, and you delegate this as you wish, because this is a
Yeah.
lot.
So the probably the biggest name this year, besides Gavin Beard right now, is Caleb Cruz going from Odessa Permian to Midland Christian. UTEP offer, 2027. So it was a what a whatever freshman last year, sophomore this year. He's gonna be the biggest name. He combines him with Cesar Gutierrez at corner, and you have probably the two best corner combination in all of TXPS over there in Midland. I think it's gonna be interesting to see how that goes. They're gonna have to use him on offense. And he's gonna be a big time player. He's gonna be one of the best DBs in the state. We will have him at the retreat this year. Like, he's gonna be legit. I expect him to grow, especially with Rowdy Pierce. There are now two Division One guys over there in Midland Christian, which is exciting to see. Question is still gonna remain, who's the quarterback over there in Midland to lead them to that way? We don't know. There's some other names. The Newman brothers, Parker and Peyton, transfer over from Willis to John Cooper. It's going to be interesting to see how that kind of plans out, because that's a big hire. Or so, I keep saying hire because we just talked about coaches. Those are two big transfers. They have the size, they have the ability to be really, really successful. They also combine him with the other 2027 offensive lineman. What's his name? Colin Weeks, who around the John Cooper community, they love him as a prospect. So you have now three guys that are over 6'5" on an offensive line in SBC 4A. I don't think any other team has that. So that's gonna be a very, very good thing to have. You combine him with Colson Collins and other guys around him. You have a pretty good team there in John Cooper that need to compete in 4A, and it's gonna be hard to do without the big boys up front. Brock Shelf is going to be a really good prospect from Plano, senior, I think, over to Parish Episcopal or over to Prestonwood. Another just big guy for the offensive line of Prestonwood, and it can slowly grows their chances and chances as the favorites in Division One next year. Sean Patel is the starter over at Katy Seven Lakes, and he comes over to Fort Bend Christian, and a guy where they were kind of interested about what quarterback is going to be next year at Fort Bend. You found your guy, and I think his brother Jason, who's going to be a rising junior, is going to be as good. He's going to be a really good prospect. I'm excited about him. Oh, what other things? Corbin Noyola from Burleson Centennial comes over to All Saints and kind of replaces the Ian Bothwells of the world, a tall, lanky, big man that can play tackle for them, I'm guessing, with he'll play. So that's a big spot for him. To replace a guy like Ian Bothwell, which is it's hard to replace a guy like him, but 6'5", that's a good replacement for sure. A couple other guys, Jude Womack. Hey, Ryan, you got yourself a dude there for the next couple of years. Freshman
Yeah,
was
you put a freshman on there.
Freshman All-State offensive lineman, was the number one offensive lineman in District 3 last year in Division 2. As a freshman, he is going to be a big time addition to Frisco Legacy, and you're going to love him, man. He's going to be a big time prospect, no doubt, Division One player in the next couple of years. He's going to be an awesome
Interesting.
prospect. Jonathan Phillips was a guy that I'm curious about, and is only the one of the only transfers we know coming into Parrish next year. 2027 quarterback from Southlake Carroll, comes over there, and I honestly I don't know much about him. Transferring out, unless you want to say anything before we move on. No?
Didn't.
Okay, good. Jack, here are the guys that are transferring out. You know what? Yeah, I'll say this afterwards. So, guys that are transferring out is the interesting thing. Jack Burnham, from St. Andrews and Austin, is transferring to Westlake. It's 6'4", 6'3", defensive lineman. That's a big loss for St. Andrews. Brody Barty, we already talked about him, but that's a big loss for EHS. And now it's going to be interesting. Brody Barti has to go compete with Roman Senor, who, I want to think about this. This is his fourth high school in 4 years, because he started at Manville, he went to Ridgepoint, went to Fort Bend Elkins last year, and is back at Ridgepoint. 6'5", big time prospect. It's gonna be interesting to see how that quarterback battle ends up, and if Brody Barti comes back to Episcopal next year. It's gonna be interesting to see. Because you don't transfer to sit the bench, right? You don't do that anymore,
I don't
you
think you do
know?
that.
Right.
No reason.
Adam Vessel is one of the guys from Second Baptist to leave to Ridgepoint, big time player, one of the most athletic guys in TXPS, pure athletes. Gonna be interesting to see how he does it. And the other guy, Isaiah Broughton. And I've talked to people about Isaiah Broughton. I think he's going to be a big, like, he has the offers, but he's going to get offers, man. You don't move, you move that well, and he was very impressive at the All-American camp in January. He put some eyes on him, and I'm going to guess he's the younger brother of Vernon Broughton, the Texas defensive tackle, and who also played at Sy Ridge, and that's where Isaiah's now at. So it kind of, yeah, A plus B equals C, right? So that's a big time prospect, and it's going to be sad to see Second Baptist lose him. That's two guys from Second Baptist, and you don't usually see that happening from Second. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plans out. Other guys, Grant Sweeney from TMI to Stratford or Stafford. Dude, I mean, that's one of our favorites in the 27 class is now gone, and that sucks to see, but best of luck going forward. That was like a December, January thing. LJ Taylor. Now, this is one that's kind of a big loss. LJ Taylor is a huge loss going over to Salina next year. LJ is a guy that was when they and a quarterback and a running back room, right, Wes? That like you had two guys hurt and you were like, oh, I guess we'll have the third guy play. Third guy dominated. And he was going to be the dude going into next year at LJ at PCA. And you go over to Salina, who, yes, they did win the state championship last year. They have one of the top gunslingers in 26. I think he's a 26 or 27. So that kid from Salina is legit, though. But you combine him in the backfield. I'm going to guess he goes there to start, at least be in the rotation at Salina. It's not a bad move once whatsoever. So good for him. Jaden Jones from Concordia, a guy who I really liked, goes back to Klein Oak. Jackson Knapp, I already said that. Trey Wimberly from Houston Christian goes to Katy Maid Creek. Maid Creek's a solid program. Not one of the usual top schools in Katy, but it's a big loss for Houston Christian, the guy that Wes said you always really like Trey, so that's a big loss for them. Isaiah Guyton, who's a guy that everyone I've talked to always like, man, that kid can play. He leaves Cornerstone to go to Piper, which is now funny because the backup at Central, what's his name? Brian Hall transfers to Cornerstone, the sophomore. So I guess he'll look to try to win that job. And here's an underrated one. Logan Kendall, the 2026 linebacker from Regents, is transferring to Lake Travis. And you don't really see that often at Regents where guys that are grown up in a Regents stay at Regents. This is a guy that was an All-State linebacker and was the number one linebacker in All-State list this past year in D2. Was great. His film is awesome. So that's a big loss for the Regents defense. And that's a big addition for Lake Travis. I'm impressed by that pull. And Caden Lawrence, the 28 athlete from Kincaid, also goes to Ridgepoint. I think, and I'll talk about this in a second. Well, let me partake and finish the list. Find Vahali, the ESD freshman superstar, is gone as well. He goes to Byron Nelson. That's a huge loss. That was going to be a guy, Wes, that we were going to talk about for a very long time, and he's now gone. So there's some other names on this list. But I think we got the majority of them going on right now. And I'll say three things. Okay. This is my overall thoughts. Three things. One, I think Ridgepoint is so tired of us taking guys that they finally were like, no, we're going to do it in return. So because like the, what's this goodness gracious, quarterback from Episcopal, what's his name?
Party.
No, the guy before him.
Carson Gordon.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I think him take us taking Carson Gordon from Ridgepoint, Tyler Cesarski from Ridgepoint, other guys like that, they were like, no, not anymore. We're taking it back. And so they have like four TXPS guys coming their way. Other than that, I think secondly, that's a lot of big names. And this is kind of two and three to point together. There is a lot more talent leaving this year than coming in this year. And I think that's interesting. That I think the talent leaving is bigger than the talent coming in. And that's worrisome. I'm not saying it's worrisome because that's how it is nowadays, but I will say this is kind of my TXPS address. We need more talent coming in to balance it out. Like we need guys coming in. So hope the summer portal has to be kind to TXPS to kind of balance the charts out because we're losing a lot of big time talent this year going out than rather than in. So not saying that there's not talent coming in. I think Caleb Cruz, Gavin Beard, there's some other names that we're hearing about that are making the rounds that we'll talk about later. Sean Patel is a great player. Jude Womack is going to be a dude. Like there's top end talent, but it's not the Quinn Murphys of the world. You know what I mean? It's not the Keldon Ryans of the world. Like it's not those big names that are coming into TXPS this year, at least right now.
I miss Keldon Ryan. He was one of the more fun
players I've ever covered just to watch make things happen. But in regards to your point, it'll be interesting because we haven't seen the traditional Parrish Liberty swarm that happens usually in the late spring, early summer. Parrish also calmed down a little bit last year. Liberty did not as much. We'll see. I mean, we're going to see more guys come in. My only real comments on this on a macro level is just looking at the length of this list. This is, as we said, this is the reality now. This will happen every year until something changes, and the list will get bigger. It's nobody's fault. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, but that's part of the reason why we're here, is to kind of consolidate all of the action moving in and out and just be like, okay, here's what you need to know, because you don't have time to look through a page of 65 names entering and leaving private school. That's my spiel. And I also think that we should amass a TXPS army and move in on Ridge Point and reclaim our athletes, because I will not stand for this. This cannot happen.
Even though we
Anyways,
started it.
we started it. You can't do what we've been doing. Anyways, since Walker just got to wax poetic for an extended period of time, Ryan Schroeder has a script that I've seen has grown by about 3 pages in the last 20 minutes.
That's
Ryan
not
Schroeder.
true. That's not true. There's no way.
Ryan Schroeder, let's discuss some TXPS basketball and stay here for another hour, why don't we?
I'm gonna try to run it up. I say that, we'll see. So SEC state championships just finished. Big thing everybody's been telling us is you don't give enough SEC championship coverage, basketball coverage in total. Well, check out TXPS basketball. Our boy, our intern Jacob Bermudez has done a great job there all season long. Make sure to look at his stuff, because if you don't see it on TXPS Media, he sure is doing it over there. All right, little recap of SEC championships. All the boys basketball championships were played at Trinity Valley last weekend. And in the SEC 3A, Austin St. Andrews defeats ESD 57-50. The Highlanders are now back-to-back state champs in SEC 3A after going 21-8 and defeating John Cooper last year. This year, the Highlanders went 19-8, including a district loss to ESD by 2 points in mid-January. The engine for them, though, was 2026 guard Jaden Buchnam, I think is how you say it,
Nice.
who averaged 16, 11, and 3 with 2 steals per game and a block per game, as well as an over 50% clip. Obviously, the number one player on their team by far. He literally was the leader in every stat on Max Preps. So this kid's definitely one to watch out for. Austin St. Andrews kid was very, very, very good. And yeah, he's a two-time state champ now after last year, and he'll run it hopefully with the Houston Hoops again this summer. A massive circuit team. For the EYBL circuit, and he'll look to do something crazy going into his senior season to see more college offers. In 4A, Green Hill defeats Bel Air Episcopal 79 to 65. The defending champs of Bel Air Episcopal fall off after a 22-9 season. The Knights managed to get past Houston St. John's and Houston Christian in the first two rounds after losing to both of them during district play. However, the Hornets proved to be too tough in the championship. If you all don't know, Houston St. John's, Houston Christian have some high-level athletes, some ranked athletes on the player scale. And yeah, they lost to both of them during the regular season and came back and beat them in the playoffs en route to making the championship game. Obviously, you beat a lot of hard teams. It's going to be a lot harder to keep that same energy going into the championship game after you're exhausted. But Green Hill, junior-senior duo, guard duo, Jackson Thompson and Dylan Watt were the sources for Green Hill's success all season long. With two narrow losses to two UIL powerhouses in Crowley and Lake Highlands back in November, and a sweep through the 2024 Grace Prep tournament, Green Hill looked like the team to beat in SBC 4A. And with teams like Dallas St. Mark's having four-star Dawson Battier and three-star Luke Lakoszowski, and Houston St. John's, like I just mentioned, having a four-star Auburn commit this year, who we have all known as, the guy with the long name, but Sky, I'm just gonna butcher this. Sky Silent Assassin, wherever you say that. I don't know how to say that, but that's Sebastian Williams Adams. He's been incredible for years at St. John's. He's actually stuck it out in SBC this entire time. Plays summer ball with all the big names, but Auburn commit coming out of SBC, pretty dang cool for this year. One SBC 4A. Oh, winning SBC 4A was definitely a challenge, but the 27-4 Hornets managed to get by just about everybody. Besides Parrish Episcopal. We're gonna say Walker.
Yeah, you know who else is on that St. John's team? Cole Allen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Oh
he
my
runs
gosh.
basketball.
Everything. He
Yeah.
does everything.
Yeah. Shout out also Malachi Booker on that team. He's a defensive lineman for St. John's. He's like 6'6", and he's very good.
Overall, SBC is very hard. Some would even tell you SBC is harder than Taps play. And I don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, going 27-4 is nothing easy. Green Hill just proved that they could do it. And like I said, they beat everyone besides Parish Episcopal. Now, moving on to Taps, gosh, this is the real thick portion. So although Wes and Walker want to tell you that I rambled on for years, I had to switch the Parish thing about six times. So in Taps 6A, the clear favorite, from what I thought, is the team that hasn't lost to a single Texas team all year long. However, there's another team who hasn't lost to a single non-prep school in Texas and also has four losses. I don't really count Dynamic Prep and, all the rest of those crappy schools. Those don't count. Parrish and St. Mike's have just been the top of 6A, two of the best teams we've ever seen in Taps basketball. Now, I want to say this first. The Legacy Parish game happened right before we recorded here on Tuesday the 18th, and Legacy just lost to Parish 42-40. Just to kind of sum it up for everything I could tell you, Legacy lost off of just really good coaching and stuff is what I'd say from how they were able to keep it so close. And according to some people, they held the ball, other things, stuff like that. But all I see that is good coaching. You hold the ball against a team like Parrish, knowing they're that good. Legacy went 0-6 in district this year. This is not a team that should be going and competing with the best team in Taps, quote unquote. Also, Parrish starting point guard got hurt, backup was sick and didn't make the game. A lot of things that were in contention for why the game went the way it did. But overall, obviously, I'm very biased to Coach Johnson, but I think this was just good coaching. I think a double tech toward the end changes the way 2 points would have gone swing wise because it was really Parrish's fault for the techs and it was a double tech both ways. That might be controversial, but and then yeah, and then last shot Legacy had was a good look, but overall, Legacy falls. But the team I'm about to tell you about only beat the 0-6 team in district by 2 points. So take everything I wrote out 3 days ago with a grain of salt because now I'm basically lying to you. I wrote all this out with the intention of going off about Parrish, but I also have to inform you about St. Mike's because everything that I'm about to say about Parrish also applies to St. Mike's. And then shout out to the TABC rankings because they actually had St. Mike's over Parrish currently at the moment. The Parrish Episcopal Panthers are 30-4 with losses against some of the nation's best teams. This includes Link Academy, for those who don't know, is a national circuit team, La Mirada out of California, and Corona Centennial. Which little quiz for Wes here? What Duke alum played at Corona Centennial? Recent one,
Jared McCain.
correct. Okay, now who is Parrish beaten? Because this is the question. They have lost to a team in Texas. Who have they beaten that's so good? Yeah, just the names of Denton Guyer, Arlington Martin, SGP, Lake Highlands, DeSoto, Denton Ryan, and of course the most historic Dallas basketball programs, Dallas Kimball. These are teams that are incredible UIL 6A teams, and they ran through most of them. Some of the best teams. And then St. Mike's, I had to add this in there. St. Mike's beat 29-2 Shadow Creek, another great basketball powerhouse. This is the year of Taps 6A teams proving it to be one of the best 10 teams in the state. Both these teams could be the best 10 team, be a top 10 team in the state. They both, rock the start of their district. Parrish put over 100 on Liberty to set the tone. St. Mike's opened their district and held Central Catholic to 28 points, then put 100 ball on Savio, beating them by 68. Like, these teams are nuts. Like I said, two of the best TXPS basketball teams, and Wes and I are probably going to hopefully go see them on Friday or Saturday, depending on when the game gets pushed to. They said 7 o'clock Friday or 2 p.m. Saturday. Now, the main thing people keep saying about this Parrish squad is that they brought everybody in and that this is a super team. And the only reason they're going back to back is because they brought in all these different guys. I'm about to give you a check down list of all the books that I went through because anyone that says transfers come in is probably true, but not for this Parrish team. With 2025 McDonald's All-American nominees, Sawyer Batts, Torrey or TJ Mitchell, and Paul Delcor have all been at Parrish since their freshman year, if not earlier. Twin brothers, 2026, Antoine and Armand Almutar, I'm so bad at these, have both been at Parrish since their freshman year, if not earlier. I'm telling you, these are some of the best players on Parrish's roster. They're basically their entire starting five have been there since when I you could check on Max Preps. They might have even been there from middle school, but I can't tell that. However, 2026, Hudson Lucas did transfer in from Kauffman High School, where he played freshman sophomore year, but Kauffman's 45 minutes away. So if you want to tell me that's just basketball, I will believe you because people do crazy stuff for football, but you're not going to do. I'm just saying a lot of this doesn't seem very basketball related, is what I'll tell you. This is what I'll tell you. Now, like I've said about all the things about Parrish, let's move to St. Mike's. St. Mike's also has a few ballers, notably mentioning 2026 four-star Bo Ogden, absolute stud, and 2025 three-star and Holy Cross commit Aiden Disu. But Aiden did transfer in after coming from Hayes High School, which is the only difference between the Parrish squad and this one. But Bo, from what I can tell, has been there the whole time. And they combine, and they're the main two engines for that squad, combining for about 29 points per game, and truly are the leaders of the St. Mike squad. Now, the reason why I had to go back on all this is I'm gonna combine the question I was gonna ask. The question I'm gonna ask y'all, from what you know about both these teams, is this the best two teams at the top of any level in private school that you've ever seen? I don't really want to count just Parrish or just St. Mike's because I don't think they're either of them within, but with the schedule they've played and the teams they've beat, I mean, how are they not some of the best teams we've ever seen? Obviously, the ones you have to mention, 2013 Prestonwood, 2020, 2021, JP2 with Jalen Tyson, Manny Obiseki, Cameron Corin, you know, all guys that are playing either
Leah
in the
McNeely.
NBA or college. I don't know.
How many? You said two or three McDonald's All-Americans on Parrish.
Three, but
So how many teams? Yeah.
so that's the McDonald's All-American nominees. Now,
Nominee, same thing. Well,
not
not
technically.
even I know,
close
I know, I know.
because they nominate a lot of guys, which is their whole thing, but it's still a great recognize great to be recognized. I don't know how to say it, but overall, this team is nuts. It's nuts, but they don't have the talent. They don't have the talent. Like Jalen Tyson, NBA player. Manny Obiseki, star at A&M. Cameron Corin, star at Pitt. You know, these are college guys. Now, do all these guys translate to the next level? Not really. They're just a really good team. So, I don't know. Kind of makes you wonder, is this the best team? Or are we seeing, am I just looking at star power?
No, that makes me really excited to cover this game more than anything. As most people know, we're football first, and we've been doing a lot of football stuff while basketball's been going on. Hearing all this makes me really regret not diving more, especially into the Parrish St. Mike storylines. It's been brewing. Like, as much as we talked about Parrish and Liberty in football this year, Parrish and St. Mike's, their basketball teams might be better than those football teams. I mean, I think they are. They both are.
It's insane to think about because of the fact that these are generational type TAPS teams. But I think bar none, the other question I was going to ask is the best 2 year stretch for a team because Parrish won last year.
True.
But no, I think me and Wes could both tell you that JP2 going from Jalen Tyson, Manny Obiseki, and Cameron Corin to Liam McNeely, Gabe Warren, and RJ Jones is kind of crazy back to back years. I would argue.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Shout out Bo Ogden, by the way. I remember him being an all district guy as a freshman on football. And then
So tough.
he was like, hey, I remember hearing coaches and be like, no, his real sport's basketball. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he's now just basketball, and look how good he is now.
Incredible, incredible. He has crazy offers as well. I think I might have even put it on there. But anyways, moving down the list, we're gonna go to TAPS 5A. That's a big jump on TAPS 6A. A lot could happen. If you don't have Parrish or St. Mike's, though, you might be in the wrong, or you might be right because Legacy almost beat them tonight. Who knows? In TAPS 5A, Houston Second Baptist looks to be the favorite, with Woodlands Christian also having some of the case, but not really after their first meeting. The 29-4 Houston Second Baptist Eagles have done just about everything right up until this week, where things have been kind of shaky. However, two losses to two non-district teams, when one of them is Legacy School of Sports Sciences, doesn't really tell me anything. This team is led by 2027 guard Reese Alston, who's currently ranked as a four-star and the fifth best player in the state of Texas in that class. Now, even in those two losses that Houston Second Baptist had, Reese balled out. He averages this season 22, 5, 4, and 2, and he currently has offers from A&M and Texas Tech, and he'll proceed to get more offers as he's only a sophomore, like I said. So, where does Woodlands Christian sit? According to the TABC rankings, they're next, but a 21-point loss to Second Baptist in early January would make me think otherwise. The Warriors are good, don't get me wrong, but not to Second Baptist level. From what I understand, they're led by 2025 three-star and Montana State commit Howie Keene. But the Warriors have state championship culture as well, winning seven chips since 2018, two in the last 5 years that Wes Walker and I were at in College Station. And they have a guy at Navy who is very, very good. His name's Austin Benigni, who was the star of that program for a couple of years.
So good.
Championship culture, but Houston Second Baptist has guys and has proven that they can beat this team, especially after beating them by 21. A lot of things point to Houston Second Baptist in 5A. What do y'all think?
Yep,
that's good. All right. In tabs 4A, the answer is very concise. Almost more concise than 5A in some regards. Although, I think TAPS 5A is pretty much Second Baptist. Some people in TAPS 4A go between two teams. Even Wes picks McKinney Christian. Now, 36-1 is very, very good on the surface. If you look at who they played, though, and I love McKinney Christian, love the coaching staff over there. I literally have gone to many McKinney Christian tournaments. And Bobby McWard is one of the best players we've ever seen play at McKinney Christian. McKinney Christian is also a powerhouse. But if you don't know who Houston St. Francis is and who they were in TAPS 3A, then you don't know TAPS basketball. TAPS basketball in 3A has run through St. Francis for years and years and years. And now they're finally up to 4A, and it's their time to shine again. Houston St. Francis is loaded with talent and has almost always been in whatever division they're playing in. Moving up to 4A this year was nothing for the Wolves. They went 10-0 in district and 26-8 playing a national schedule, including teams from Illinois, South Carolina, and California's very own St. John Bosco. But even in Texas, they test themselves with teams like Allen and an overtime battle with 29-2 Shadow Creek, which, by the way, that's two teams that have gone toe-to-toe with Shadow Creek, which is impressive. One of them giving one of their only two losses on the year, by the way, in St. Mike's. Here's the talent. 2025 four-star and SMU commit, Nigel Walls, who's ranked as the 79th player in the nation, is on this St. Francis team. Just want to make sure everybody knows that. 2025 three-star and Columbia commit, John LaBoy, I think is how you say it, also on this team. 2025 three-star and Monmouth commit, Omarion Harvey, is on this team. An underrated player in 2025, Oklahoma Baptist commit, Christian Hodge. Absolute baller as well. But overall, four guys all going to play at the next level, one of them being a top 100 player in the nation, an SMU commit. Who's stopping this? You're going to tell me these kids from McKinney are stopping this? No.
Bishop T.K. Gorman.
Okay, no. These all four guys, though, they share the love. They all average about 11 to 14 points per game, and they worked in tandem perfectly together. With everything I've said about McKinney Christian, I'll tell you this. Drew Hamilton, this sniper, sharpshooter, led TAPS in three-pointers made, or maybe even private school for a little bit. Drew Hamilton is really good. He's incredible. The supporting cast at McKinney Christian, though, isn't what it used to be. And I don't think Drew Hamilton is Bobby McWard, and he can't carry this team all the way through. Maybe someone like Bobby could. And there also wasn't a team called St. Francis in their division last time McKinney Christian had to do this feat. Okay. A lot was said about all the basketball levels. The general knowledge of what I'll tell you is this. We have two teams really fighting for the top of 6A. We saw a crazy ending tonight with Legacy Parish. Does the next team that faced Parish also try the 2-3 zone and holding the ball and a lot of other things that, you know, Legacy tried? Do they try to force basically Parish to work outside rather than inside when they're more of a, you know, I don't know. We don't have to get into the specifics, but is that what they do? Does St. Mike's show off their star power with guys like Bo Ogden, who can go out there and just absolutely ball? What does that mean for 5A? Second Baptist looks like the clear favorite. Looks like this team's going to be really like that with Reese Alston at the helm. And in 4A, we kind of know St. Francis, loaded team. It's going to be hard to take them down. That's my shtick. That's what I think. And you'll see us, me and Wes, at the games, the Parish game this weekend. And then from what I understand, we will be at state championships, not myself, but Wes Walker and maybe some of the interns will be at state championships on March 1st, at Robinson High School. So appreciate all y'all that show the love on the Instagram post as well and the Twitter post. We'll try to give more coverage throughout, just kind of the way football season ends right at district start. And then we also put out award show. It kind of only we kind of do this every year. We kind of just like hit the playoff spectrum. And overall, it's fun. I think it's fun diving into this as the intensity kind of like kicks up.
No, definitely so. I'll say two things briefly before we get out of here. The first is, I think I'm on record as saying I enjoy the atmosphere of basketball game even more than football. I think there's something about being in an enclosed space like a basketball gym that the energy is just ramped up to another level. Even when I was in high school, just like being in that packed gym, especially the first time or that we all were in the same place for the state champ or for the state championships. Lest you forget, that was the first time they allowed a full crowd back after COVID. That's one of my favorite memories ever. That was such a fun time. But
The other thing I was gonna say, the one that me and you went to on a night in January, Star Powered Prestonwood versus TCA Addison, the place was packed. It was filled to the brim that me and you went to, Wes. It was incredible.
what I remember about that game is I was still using my crop sensor Canon Rebel, and I hated it. Every single picture I took, and I looked at yours and I was like, I need a full frame camera now.
That's
But
funny.
that was a fun game. And then also the last thing I'll say is you'll notice if you look at my picks, which some of them might be drastically wrong. I decided to go for some upsets, but Jacob Bermudez is with me in picking Bishop Gorman to make the Final Four in TAPS 4A. And your question to that might be, well, they're in Nevada. How does that work? I'm talking about
Good,
Tyler TK Bishop
good,
Gorman.
good.
What people might not
Good
know, and
reference.
what I know because I'm from Tyler, is they have a fantastic culture. They went to the Final Four in 2019. They went to the Final Four again last year. Coach Kevin Murray is a beast. He is an incredible leader of people. He's an even better basketball coach. They have some kids that can flat out play, and they're all mostly young guys, sophomores and juniors. Carlo Nifedi is a beast. Elijah Kopic II is a sophomore, is going to be one of the guys. This will be a team that's great for years to come. And also, guys, I'll ask you, do you remember the clip that I put out 2 years ago from the Tyler Wagstaff tournament of the kid hitting the game-winning shot to Father Stretch My Hands?
Yes,
Yeah.
actually, I do.
That was freshman Bo Bender in 2022, who is now a junior for the squad, playing
Wow.
very well. He's an
Dang.
incredible point guard. I say all that to say is Gorman gets kind of hidden away in Tyler sometimes, especially since they've dropped down from 5A. I want to show Kevin Murray and the guys some love. They're a great program. I will be rooting for them to win the whole thing, quite frankly. But I do
Good
think
stuff.
I do like McKinney Christian a lot. And to be completely honest, I did most of my picks in the car this morning. I forgot that St. Francis was St. Francis. So I thank Ryan Schroeder for probably the most in-depth basketball coverage we've had on the program,
Real.
along with Jacob Bermudez for providing this to us. Walker Lot.
I'll staying on basketball. I'm doing the graphics while y'all are talking because I know zero about basketball and I know my place. So I was doing the brackets just to give y'all updates. Parrish did beat Legacy Christian tonight. Bishop Lynch beat TCA Addison. So those two of Parrish Lynch meet in the second round. John Paul II beat Liberty Christian and Prestonwood just beat Nolan Catholic. So you have a JP2 Prestonwood matchup in the round, in the quarterfinal round. TMI beat St. Pius X, and that's for 6A that we have right now in the in TAPS 5A. The Battle of the Graces, Grace Prep won and move on. And Bishop Dunn, I guess I don't know if you call it an upset, but Midland Christian won TAPS 5A last year. And Bishop Dunn beats Midland Christian and moves on. So I think it
Dang.
was Jacob who put Midland Christian in his final
Yeah,
four.
I need to check.
The bracket, his bracket is officially busted. So
TXPS basketball is a non-ball knower.
yeah.
Yeah,
Oof.
we how we start that precedent. Oh my gosh.
By
That
the
was
way,
big.
Dunn is 10-18.
Yeah, that's
They're
a.
also 7-3 in district.
It was like a three,
Dude,
or it was a.
Legacy was 0-6 in district. Does everyone not know how crazy that is? They just went toe-to-toe with Parrish.
Yeah, that's
I'll
crazy.
say to your standpoint, you asked if all those teams should do the same thing Legacy did. If you're not an elite team and you don't have a snowball's chance in hell from a talent standpoint, you do that exact same thing. You roll three guys out there. You do the weirdest thing possible.
It's funny because it always provokes the question, there should be a shot clock. If a team's going to hold the ball for 2 minutes and 15 seconds to start, whatever it is, How do you not have a shot clock in this sport yet in high school? It's mind-blowing. You don't have to have it at the same time as college. Doesn't have to be 30. Put it at 35. Put it at 40. You got to make guys shoot the ball, though.
Yeah. Moving on, I just found updates. Houstonville Village, shout out the Village for being not good at football, but very good at basketball somehow. Houstonville Village beat Central Catholic 72 to 50, and Antonian Prep just beat St. Thomas 71 to 63. So
Yeah.
those two schools move on to the second round, or I guess third round technically, because we had some playing games kind of thing.
I was just gonna say the only thing about Antonian, the same thing I told you about another team earlier, about like championship culture. Antonian has championship culture. The
Yeah.
youth does not know Antonian championship culture. That was all we had the last 5 years was
Very
Antonian,
true.
Antonian, Antonian 6 years, whatever. Antonian
Yeah.
is like that. So just want everybody to know that.
Yeah, for sure. And to answer your question about Midland Christian, they lost by 8 to Bishop Dunn. It was 49-41, a low scoring game, and they pull out the win. And then in D3, Lubbock Christian pulls out the win against Dallas Christian to get revenge for the football loss. Westbury Christian Falls, the Burnage School of Geneva. They move on to the second round. I'll tell you that score right now. That's 3A,
You said
4A.
Westbury?
Yeah, Westbury loses to Geneva, 52-46, a close one.
Now, Geneva is very, very good as well, or it was my pick as well, but Westbury is also championship culture. If those who
Yep.
don't know, Westbury is championship culture. These are all teams that have like been powerhouses, and like we see in football, same
Yeah.
happens in basketball. Things switch around. The same teams that are going and winning championships back-to-back years are also going 0-6 in district, whether that be my high school or whatever. It's just how things work and
Yeah.
all across all sports. These dynasties don't stay forever.
When it was kind of the dynasty before Legacy came around in your time, like my freshman sophomore year, I think it was my freshman year, SES basketball made state. And it was during that time, like Westbury was supposedly really good,
Yeah,
and I didn't really know
very
anything
good.
about it. And so I remember beating, I forget who we beat the day before, and then we had Westbury in the state championship. And so we're all hyped, we're ready to go. It's gonna be a great game. And you just see all these Westbury guys just slam dunking, windmilling, and warm-ups, and we were like, it's not gonna go pretty for us. And we held them on, but that's like you said, championship culture, without a doubt.
I don't want to continue this on, but I have to comment on that. So the next year, I'm assuming that was spring of 2016 is what you're saying would be the two case. So
I think you're right, yeah.
spring of 2017, we played in the championship against Westbury. And guess who was on our team? Anyone know? If you want to take a guess, who was on freshman football that
Was that
also
Marvin?
probably played?
Mr. Mims?
Marvin Mims was the sixth man off the bench coming because we can't play a fr we can't freshman can't start, you know? A freshman named Marvin Mims can't start. What? And then Marvin came off the bench within 2 minutes of the game, and yeah, we still lost. But little shout out to Marvin Mims, Denver Bronco.
Yeah. Pro Bowler now, by the way.
Pro Bowler to Marvin Mims, who used to sit
And
next to me in history class.
there we go. The world is so small.
Yeah.
And finally, the only last score we have as of 9:20 p.m. on Tuesday is Saint Francis beats Incarnate Word out of Corpus Christi to start their dominance.
No massive upset. Could
Yeah.
not have seen that coming.
So
Wow.
we'll post these graphics as the time goes on. We'll post them next round, so you'll see these tomorrow probably. There is some talks about because of the weather. So one game already got postponed supposedly. I think the McKinney Christian game. So that's my basketball knowledge
What are
for
we
you.
doing? Basketball's played inside. This is crazy. All right. With all that being said, we I think assumed before this that the episode would be about 45 minutes, and here we are an hour and 20 minutes later, maybe an hour and 15 if we cut out a lot of stuff that would get us canceled immediately, as there is in every episode, but you don't see that. As always, a ton
I
of
hope not.
great content. Thank you everyone to your contributions. You will see Ryan and I at the Parish Episcopal game either this Friday or Saturday, weather permitting. You will see Ryan at Frisco Legacy on Thursday to do a presentation based on his tremendous accolades. He will not admit that, but I will. You will see him there on Thursday. As always, I have been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison, and Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have tremendously been themselves. We will see you in the next episode. See you later.